Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed, now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord, my trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. All stanzas of Psalter 235.
To read to you that which can be found in God's holy word from the Apostle John, the 3rd chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of the Apostolic Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 3, the first 24 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we try to draw nigh unto Thee. We have heard in these moments Thy holy word, that a light that is come into this world, but men love darkness rather than light. And Thou knowest that it is with each and every one of us by nature. For then we hear also time and time again of that light. But we will not come unto that light, that we may be enlightened in our mind and in our soul and our understanding within our heart, and that we may walk by that light every step upon this world. But the lovers of darkness do turn away, and no need for Thee, no love for Thee. Oh, that Thou may open our eyes, Lord. Thou knowest that we cannot bring ourselves to love that light. Oh, we have heard it in this morning hour, that it is so necessary that there be a work from the other side, that we are drawn by Thee, and we have heard it out of Thy word in these moments also, that the wind that bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And then Thou art so free in Thy coming, and Thou art so free also in Thy going in the life of Thy church. We can only plead with Thee, and that Thou would be pleased also in this afternoon to come, O Lord. We can read it on that day of Pentecost, how that there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then Thou didst come as the wind, and Thou didst come to convert men. Thou didst come to grant them knowledge of self, that they may cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Thou didst come to convince of righteousness and judgment. O Lord, we beseech Thee for that same spirit in this afternoon hour. For when it is never a powerful work within our heart, then it shall end in an everlasting destruction. That is the way that we have chosen in our covenant head Adam. And we walk by nature upon that broad way that leads unto destruction, that goes through that city of vanity, wherein there are all kinds of distractions from that one thing that is needful. Oh, we can only beseech it of Thee, Lord, because then we can try to bring it to the ears of a man. But what shall it profit, because our ears are closed and our eyes we have closed, that we should not see with our eyes and that we should not hear with our ears and understand with our hearts. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou would come and that Thou may open our eyes and our ears and our hearts in this afternoon, and that there may be a word that is spoken not by man, but that is spoken by Thee Thyself, as we have sung it also together, that it belongs only unto Thee to answer our prayer, because Thou art divine. O the power, O Lord, that is with Thee, and Thou knowest that we are undeserving, then there will never be anything from our side that we can lay before Thee, and we can make our vows unto Thee, and that it will be different in this coming week and in the day of tomorrow and in this afternoon hour. But we cannot fulfill it, O Lord, from our own strength. And when Thou dost not give it in our heart and in our life, then we continue on in the flesh. Oh, we beseech Thee. Then for the power of Thy Holy Spirit in this afternoon hour, that Thou may do for us what we will not and what we are not able to do for ourselves, because... And then it is necessary that Thou givest a resurrection from the dead, and that it may be a most powerful work, a supernatural work. O Lord, that Thou Thyself may receive all the honor for it and all the glory in the life of a man. O that Thou may remember both young and old to gather upon our short journey here below. One day a man is flourishing as the grass, and the next the wind bloweth over it, and it is gone. O Lord, that Thou may preserve and protect us in the week that is come upon us, each and every one, and that Thou may supply for all our needs, but O give, that it may not be an unprofitable week upon our journey to that great and never-ending eternity. Oh, that we may not hear upon Thy day and then to have it all taken away by the birds, because it is only fallen upon the wayside. Oh Lord, then it is only Thy work to plow up the fallow ground and to make that seed to fall upon a well-prepared ground. We beseech it then of Thee, who does say, as we have heard it in this morning hour, that Thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn unto Thee and live. O Lord, wilt Thou show it also in this afternoon hour? O that we may also have the evidences feelingly and believingly among us as a congregation, when Thy Spirit would convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and when the feet would be turned about, O Lord, as Thy servant did say, turn us, and we shall be turned, draw us, and we will run after Thee. Wilt Thou look upon each and every one of Thy dear children? Thou knowest also their places in this afternoon hour. Thou knowest the emptiness of their hearts. Thou knowest the fears that there so often are. And because there was a time of first love, but Thou knowest that it is so often so different in their life. So that so often they do fear that there is nothing left of that which they thought was Thy own work. O Lord, then the fears can be so very many, but they are not able to bring one thing back unto themselves, because they were not the beginning. Thou wast the beginning, and they cannot uphold it because Thou must uphold it, and they cannot finish it because Thou must finish it, O Lord. O, then we beseech Thee also for them, O, that they may also experience, as we have heard it also last week, that for the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. O, that Thou may deliver them from all their oppressions and from all their fears, and that they may say with Thy servant, to Thy honor and to Thy glory, this poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. O, He took me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth. owed in thy name that is so magnified and glorified, Lord. Oh, open the mouth of thy dear children, even amongst us as families, as a congregation, that it may be heard by times come. All ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, that it may be a living truth that lives in the hearts of each and every one of thy true church. And that it may be for the drawing of others, and that others may be given to see where the footsteps of thy flock are, and that they may be given to follow therein. Wilt thou keep us all from iniquity and sin? Thou knowest all the wiles of the devil and all the evil and the sin of our own hearts. Oh, then we need to be kept from moment unto moment, and that thou may look upon our youth and our children. Oh, do give them in the days of their youth to remember thee. Oh, that they may see early the vanity of all that is here below, and that the fear, that tender fear of thy name, may be planted deep within their young hearts, and that they may be kept from so much sin of which they will only be grieved here in this world and to that never-ending eternity, and that thou may supply for parents, for teachers, and all those that are in authority over us also we lay before thee, that thou may remember these great nations wherein we live, to turn us also as nations back once again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Supply thou servants and be with all thy truly sent servants, the students also, the theological school and all those that labor therein, and him that goes forth to bring thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath with all thy servants. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left hand? Do supply for all the needs. They are known to thee. For the widows, the widower, and all those in our midst that have needs known unto thee. O Lord, we beseech thee also for them, because we cannot enter into those needs. But thou knowest where that they are, and where that cry that is coming forth unto thee from the earth. O thy servant, he did say, I am a worm and no man. O Lord, wilt thou remember them in thy mercy, and all those that suffer from addictions. O Lord, we beseech thee also for them, because their number that does increase within our days, and Satan, then he is so mighty, and thou givest him a little room. O Lord, we beseech thee also for them, to deliver them from the snare, and that they may be given to say with thy servant, the snare is broken and I am escaped. O, then thy name also will receive the glory. Be with all those that are handicapped, and all those and that are in the prisons, innocent and guilty alike. Wilt thou instruct in thy truth and in the way of a true repentance and deliverance in thy only begotten Son? Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may give us sufficient strength to do this labor in this hour, that we may be enabled to bring thy word, but also in our mind the clarity to bring it in simplicity for the understanding of all. But may it be a word in our heart that may be for the instruction in that spiritual life of thy child. Oh, that thou may give it in the hearts of many, and grant true conversions, as thou alone art able to do, as thou who art able to raise the dead. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 238 all the stanzas. Zion, founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, God's own city, who can all thy glory tell? All the stanzas of Psalter 238, and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for the first question of Lord's Day 7 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 7, only the first, only question number 20. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits by a true faith. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about the recipients of salvation. First, not all men are saved. And secondly, who alone are saved? The recipients of salvation. First, not all men are saved. And second, the recipients or who alone are saved. Every week again, congregation, we hear of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very great privilege to hear of that blessed mediator between God and a poor sinner, because there are so many in this world who are never privileged to hear of this name. But last time, then we have asked whether this name has any personal meaning for us, and that there is are two different questions, that is, who is Christ and who is Christ for us. Have you given any thought in this week that has gone by concerning this question? Who is Christ for me? And are there those for whom this has become a burden, that you say, I know of this name, I hear of this name continually, but in my heart I must confess that there is no preciousness in this name for myself, and that I cannot say with that bride in truth that He is white and ruddy, and that He is the chiefest among 10,000. Christ, He says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. We all know that it is necessary for us, in order that we may live, that we have to eat. And we can have, boys and girls, we can have before us a very beautiful plate of food, many different colors sometimes, that you say that looks so beautiful that I don't want to even destroy it with my fork. But what happens if you leave that food on your plate? Say, well, you can look at it and it can look very beautiful, but if you do not take it into your mouth, if you do not receive it by your body, then that food that is not going to profit you. And the Lord Jesus, then He says, so that is also with me. He says, I am the bread of life. But it will not profit you that you have heard my name if you have never eaten my flesh and if you have never drunk my blood. And then there will only be a testifying against us in that great day of days that we have heard of this name. Thus we feed our natural body by eating. Thus we receive it with our mouth. And then we must ask, how is it that our soul is then fed? Well, then you say, then that cannot be with our mouth that we receive it, but we must receive that by faith. And that is right, because faith that is the same as eating, that is a spiritual eating. And that is now what our Lord's Day is about. Faith. We have not heard of that before. It is the seventh Lord's Day, and we have gone through Lord's Days 1 through 6. But we have not heard in Lord's Days 1 through 6 of an explanation about faith. Why not? Well, our fathers, they do not begin with such an explanation. Why not? Well, the Lord Himself does not begin with such an explanation in the life of His people. And why not? Well, because that isn't necessary. Because if the Lord will give faith, and that faith that is a gift of God, if the Lord will give faith, then the Lord also gives the exercise of faith. Then that is not something that a man he has in his mind to think about, but the Lord immediately upon the granting of faith, the Lord is giving also something of the exercise of it. And a mother, mothers, when your children are born, then you do not begin as a little child, an infant, to begin to explain to them everything about eating. You say that is not necessary. No, that child that is just fed. And later on, then there may come an appropriate time that you may explain to your children something about eating, the necessity of eating, and what that eating that is doing for you. We take eating so for granted. But eating, congregation, that is actually a very, very complex thing. What goes along with that? Well, we have the savor of the food. We have hunger and thirst that is connected to eating. And in our body, then there is the production of fluids, of saliva, of acids. And when you will study it, young people, in school maybe this year, then you will find the more you study of that body of man, that is a body that is fearfully and wonderfully made. Not something that can just come out of the disorganization of chaos, as men will try to say. There are many things also with eating that can go wrong, and when only one goes wrong, then we do not receive that nourishment in our body that is necessary from that eating. And yet we say that it is so simple. And it is true. And if we are healthy and well and everything goes fine, then we do not need an explanation. That explanation is complex. You say, I do not need to know that. And that is true. You say, I will just eat. That I know how to do. And that is so until when? Well, that is so until something does not go right. And when something does not go right, well, then you are seeking someone who knows a little more. You seek a doctor, children, and that doctor, he knows just how that body is working. And then he is beginning to explain, and when it is not going right, and then you are a little more interested, you say, just how does that work? And what is it now that is going wrong, that when I eat that I do not receive that nourishment that I need from my food? Faith. Faith that is on the one hand so simple. When it is true, when it is from the Lord, then the Lord, He gives it in its existence, He gives it in its exercise. Then John and Peter can look at that lame man by that gate beautiful. And they can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And then what do we see? And then he stood and he leaped and he walked and he praised God. Oh, that faith, that was miraculous faith. That faith that is, on the one hand, so simple. But on the other hand, there are also so many difficulties in that exercise of faith, if you ask the people of the Lord. Then the disciples, they say, Lord, increase our faith. And then they had to experience that faith that could not come from themselves, and that they could not increase that faith by themselves. And Peter, he can one moment be walking on the water. He never did that, children. But that was also by faith that he is walking on the water. And the next moment, then he is sinking in the water. And if you will ask the children of the Lord, then they will understand what that means. How that one moment they can be walking on the water, and the next moment they are sinking in the water. Thus, that church that has actually so many questions sometimes about faith, about the existence of faith, about the reality of faith, about the exercise of faith, about the strength of faith, about the endurance of faith. Questions. Because then they are asking, is that faith within me, is that a true faith, or is that something other than what is described in God's Word as a true faith? Because there are not only very often difficulties concerning faith, but it is also that there is in this world much pretension of faith that can go wrong in so many ways. And then the explanation is not easy, but that explanation that is so necessary, because the Lord says that we have to believe not every spirit, but that we have to try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. John Calvin, he says that to state the truth, that is only half the work of the office of teaching. But that we also have to dissipate all of the fallacies that are of the devil. Faith is a very, very important subject. Why? Because when we go wrong with faith, that is a matter of great consequence. To go wrong with faith, that is actually fatal. When we make a mistake here, when we have all the doctrine true concerning God, concerning election, concerning His Son, concerning the work of the Spirit, and we can say that all just how it is according to the Bible, and then we have it wrong concerning faith for ourselves, then Christ says that there will be many that they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? That is all by faith. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Faith. Thus, that is what our fathers introduce here. And therefore, because of the importance of this, we have no desire to go quickly. But we have a desire just to go slowly, that we may try with the help of the Lord. Will you ask Him? Because it is not easy for us either to explain what that faith is. But will you ask the Lord in the coming weeks that the Lord will give us what we need, and may it be a need in our own hearts that we may know for ourselves, do I have faith or do I not have faith? Are all men then as they perished in Adam saved by Christ? Where does that idea come from? You say maybe Arminius. No. Does not come from Arminius, because the Heidelberg Catechism that was approved by the Heidelberg Synod in 1563 in January, but Arminius, he was born in October of 1560, so that means he was only, boys and girls at this time, 2 years old. So, no, that is not an idea from Arminius, and those Arminian ideas, they did not actually begin with him. But they had been for many years in the church already. Then we have to go already to the beginning of the New Testament church. And then we have to speak about the Pelagians, the followers of Pelagius. And the Semi-Pelagians, the followers of Cassianus. And those men, well, then they also used the Bible. And that is not easy, young people, when someone else also uses the Bible. And that means that we also need to know what that Bible means, because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. And do we have an answer then when they say to us, this is the interpretation of the Bible? And then you say, no, that cannot be what the Bible means. Thus, where does this idea come from? Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? So, we hear two names, boys and girls, here. They speak, our fathers, they speak about Adam, and they speak about Christ. Does the Bible speak about those two names together also? Yes, we can read that in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he writes that to the Corinthians. He says, as all men, as in Adam, all die, so he says, in Christ shall all be made alive. So we hear it. Adam and Christ. And then he says, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, that sounds very similar to this question, doesn't it? Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Thus, that question that comes directly from the Word of God. The Word of God that is speaking about the death of all men in Adam. What kind of death is that? Well, that is that spiritual death. And it says that they all die. All men have died that spiritual death in Adam. And therefore, when it says so very simply, so in Christ shall all be made alive, then it sounds just as if, young people, that the answer to this question is yes. Because that is just exactly what it says in the Bible. And so a man can be so convincing when he will take the Bible. And when he will say, well, we don't need those forms. And we don't need a doctrine. No, we just take the Bible. That's all that is above all the works of men. And so a man, he can be brought into error. Not that those works are above the Bible, no. But that there is an interpretation of the Bible that is according to the Bible. Thus, as in Adam, all die. What is now relation between Adam and Christ? Well, you say they are both heads of covenants. Thus, Adam, he is the head of the covenant of works. And Christ, he is the head of the covenant of grace. And when we see, and that is the teaching of the Bible, when we see them as stated here as the heads of the covenant, then all of a sudden everything becomes clear. Because then we see indeed that word all, that is not referring exactly to the same people. As in Adam, all die. So in Christ shall all be made alive. Then it is very easy for us to see. And that it is speaking about all that they are head of. All that are in that covenant. So we have all those that are in that covenant of works. They have all died in Adam. But who are now made alive in Christ? Well, it is those who are in the covenant of Christ. That is so simple. But there are those that would like those that are everyone that is included in that covenant of Adam also to be included automatically in that covenant of Christ. But that cannot be. Because it is so contrary to the rest of that holy word of God. Adam is the head of his natural posterity, and Christ, he is the head of his church, of that spiritual posterity. You say, where is that now written in the Bible? Yes, that we must ask. What did the Lord say to Joseph when Christ was to be born? And then he came to him. And he said to him who that Christ would be. And he said that he would save his people from their sins. Thus it speaks about not saving the whole world, but it speaks about the people of Christ, about his people. And when Christ, he has gone into the ministry, and we can read that he has prayed to his Father. Then we read that he said to his Father that he had manifested his name to the men which thou hast given unto me out of the world. So that is so very clear that there is a people in the world that are given to Christ. And that there are those that are in the world that are not given to Christ. Thus we can read of the Lord Jesus that he also says, I lay down my life for my sheep. For my sheep. And then what does he say to some of those Pharisees? He says that so very directly. He says, ye are not of my sheep. Then how much clearer can it be? Paul, he says to the Ephesians that Christ, he is the head of the church. Just as that husband is the head of the wife. So Christ, he is the head of the church. And so Christ, he is spoken about as being the head of his church, of being the shepherd of his own sheep. And those people, they are set apart from those that are not his. You say, I also read other texts in the Bible. Because if I go to John, does not John testify that the Father had sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? And does not John say expressly that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins, he says, of the whole world? Then they say, well, how much clearer can that be? And if we see John the Baptist, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he proclaims Him unto the people, and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and that by the if as by the offense of one, judgment came into this world to condemnation, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Then you say, yes, that is indeed difficult. Then you say, that seems like it is contradictory, and we cannot find a way anymore in the Bible. In one place it says one thing, another place it says something else. But it is not true. It is actually so simple. It is so simple only when we read the Bible, we have to read the Bible in its context, every verse in its chapter, and every chapter in its book, and every book within the context of the whole Scriptures. And what is the context of all these times that the Lord and the apostles, they are speaking about that salvation of Christ being given to all men and being given unto the whole world? Well, that is in a very special time. That is in a time of the changing of the dispensations, when it was going from the Old Testament dispensation to the New Testament dispensation. And then what was peculiar to that time, that people had such a difficult thing to understand, because the Lord, He had to come to Peter and to show to him a vision that he may receive Cornelius and go with him. And thus the Lord showed to him all kinds of unclean beasts let down from heaven. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And what the Lord has cleansed, he hears, call not thou common. 3 times, so that when Cornelius is sending for him, Peter knows immediately that he must go with them. That was strange. That was different. When Peter goes back to Jerusalem, then we find that the Jews there, they are contending with Peter. They says, you have gone into one that was uncircumcised. That they did not understand. But it was prophesied. It was prophesied long ago already. Just think about Simeon, boys and girls. When this Simeon, he has taken him up in his arms, and Simeon has known what that scripture was. And at that time had come a new time, a different time, a time wherein that salvation that was opened also unto us and unto our children, that was before only to that Jewish nation. And therefore, over and over again, then the apostles, they are speaking about this. And then it has to be explained to them over and over. Know that it is not only to that Hebrew nation, but it is now going out unto all the world, also unto the Gentiles, that they are going to be brought in. And that there will be a great harvest in the end of the world, a harvest that has been coming in congregation for the last 2,000 years. That word of God going to every nation in this world. But Does that mean that it is going out to each and every single person in this world? Oh, no. No, it takes nothing away from the fact, as our fathers here say, that not all men are saved as they perish in Adam. But who are saved? And we want to consider that after we sing. Psalter 263, 1 and 2. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. And what follows? One and two of 263. There is, congregation, much more to say concerning the errors that are related to this question. But we do not have time to do everything this afternoon. What is the main point that our fathers are bringing forward in this question and in this answer? That is, in the first place, that by nature we are on the outside of the kingdom of God, and that we need to be brought on the inside. And in the second place, the means by which a man is brought on the inside, that is by faith. Are all men then, as they perish in Adam, saved by Christ? No. Only those who are engrafted into Him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Thus, what do our fathers say? They say something has to take place in our life. Something has to take place between the cradle and the grave. And what do they call it? They call it an ingrafting. Those, only those who are ingrafted into him. What is that? That is another picture for us. Beautiful picture that comes from our fathers. No, comes from the Bible. Once again, and we can read about Paul when he is speaking about the Hebrews, that he speaks about them as being a branch cut off, but the Lord is able to graft them in again. Thus we have a picture of the ingrafting. Grafting, that is a radical thing. Because what has to happen first? Well, first, that branch that has to be severed. It has to be cut off completely, so that there is nothing left anymore of a connection between that and that old root, that old stem. And then that branch that has to be bound, that has to be bound to that new root, to that new stem, so that it will begin to receive all the sap, all the life, not from that old root anymore, but that it may begin to receive all of its life from that new root. What do you think, young people? We have those of you that you have joined the confession class. What do you think? Is this then what is taking place when a person does confession of faith in the church? That he is, when he makes that promise, that he is thereby ingrafted into Christ? No. I think you will say not. Because Christ, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, he shall enter into the kingdom of God. That is, even of religious people, those that say, Lord, Lord. Many of them, they shall not enter into that kingdom. And Paul says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But he says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. No church membership. That is not what gives us a right to assume that we are one of God's people just until our life shows different. To assume that we have entered into that kingdom, that we think the best of ourselves and of one another. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Indeed, we receive many benefits. Do you desire them, young people? Many benefits through that outward membership in the church of God. Paul, he says, what advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, much. Not because they are converted, but what is the profit? But chiefly, he says, because unto them are committed the oracles of God. But if we will make assumptions of the goodness of our state before the Lord because of a membership in the church, then we put ourselves in a very dangerous way. What did the Lord Jesus say? We read it together to Nicodemus. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Who was that man? He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. And now that is what our fathers speak of in this Lord's Day. They say, no. Only those who are engrafted into him, thus in regeneration, in that new birth, then a man, he is cut off from that old stock, from Adam. And he is engrafted into that new stock. He is engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a life, a new life that comes from a new root. There is, as it were, new sap that he is receiving all the benefits. Oh, if the Lord could open our mouth only to speak about all those benefits. We cannot do that now. But those benefits that are flowing out of Christ for his church. Just as that sap that is flowing and that is coming into all the branches from that vine. What do you think? That such a cutting off, do you think a cutting off in such a way would not be painful? No, it is not a cutting off out of the land of the living. Because the Lord Jesus says, I do not pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Thus their flesh is not gone. But there is a new life next to that life of the flesh. And it is that old life that is still living with that new life that is bringing so much pain in the life of that people. Because when there is that new life, then there are new longings and that there are new desires. But then there are also old desires, sinful desires, fleshly desires, carnal desires. They are all still present to weigh a man down, to burden him as he goes forth with that new life over this world. Two loves that do compete one against another. We were just reading that at home yesterday in the Bible. How that the Lord, he said to the children of Israel, I leave among you the Canaanites. I leave the Philistines. Why? To teach men war, those that did not know war. Because they would have to know what war is. Because there is no such thing, congregation, as being in the church militant and not having war. Then a man, he needs to be cut off. He needs to be cut off from that old life and sin that is not immediately cut off out of his life. But that sin that is becoming a sorrow, it is becoming a grief in his life. And that is new. That did not exist before. He said, I had it since I was young. My conscience always bothered me. That is not that new life. That conscience that belongs to everyone. But that conscience has no love in it. It is all judgment. But is there love? Is there love bored in your heart that your sin also grieves you? That you say it is against the Lord whom my heart loves, whom my heart desires, and whose favor that I long for in my life. Those are those new desires. And then a man, he needs also in his life to know what it is to be cut off from that old covenant and to be brought into that new covenant. Do you not think that is a painful thing in the life of a man? But we speak here in a special way about that ingrafting, that is in that regeneration, in that new birth. That ingrafting is an ingrafting into Christ. Cannot be different, because there is no life, there is no spiritual life outside of Christ. The Father cannot give life to us outside of Christ. Where would be the basis? Where would be the foundation? What would be his justification for doing so? That is impossible. But when he will look upon his people in and through him, then he is able to receive a sinful man. Then he has the justification, as we heard it in this morning, because of that price that was paid. Thus, in regeneration, there is a change of state, that a man, he is brought from under the kingdom of the devil, and he is brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest change that can ever happen in our whole life. And yet most of the time, then a person knows nothing in that moment of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are steps in the life of grace. Do you believe that? Because there are many people who do not believe it. They want to throw it all away. But congregation, when Ruth said, "Thy people, my people, thy God, my God," that was only a manifestation of what had taken place in her heart already, which was a cutting off of that life, that old life. She was cut off from everything that was in Moab. And she knows nothing of it, but she is from the side of the Lord by faith, already ingrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. And she is beginning to bring forth, it is coming out in the open in her life, what the Lord has done within her own heart. Boaz took notice of this. He said to her, "It hath fully been showed me what thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and how thou hast come to a people whom thou hast not known heretofore." That cutting off and that ingrafting, that is a work of the Lord himself, and he knows about it. He knows about it. And he knows what are the desires and the troubles that are living within such a heart. Because there was a time between the beginning of her life and between knowing who that Boaz was to her. There was a time between this. And in that time, There were many things by which God's children, because, well, they can see that in the life of Ruth, that she cannot see for herself, because that people, they are often carrying a lamp upon their back, that they cannot see that light for themselves, but that there is an inward rejoicing in the heart, in the life of the true children of the Lord. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No. Only those who are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits by a true faith. And then it is not only the receiving of all those benefits, but it is even that initial engrafting that is received in the heart, in the life, by faith. Ruth's faith that did not begin in Bethlehem. No, that began in Moab. Maybe there she has seen people of the Lord. And maybe that was a means, likely a means, in her own life, the sorrows that had come upon her mother-in-law, and felt something of a holy jealousy for what that woman had in her heart. Maybe she could express it by times. That she had a desire for that blessed portion of her mother-in-law. But it is now that faith that is planted in her heart that is a means by which her heart is cut off from her people and from her father's house. Are there such a people in our midst? They are those, they will say often, I am not like unto one of his handmaidens. And yet they have that same desire that we read of Ruth. That was a desire that she may go unto those fields of Boaz and that she may glean something there. Is that how you come up to the house of the Lord? That you say, O Lord, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. Oh, a few sheaves, Lord, just a little gleaning today by thy Spirit in the house of the Lord, something that is left over. And what did that Boaz say? He says, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not into any other field, but abide here fast by my maidens. And why? Because that is the place where he was going to give instruction to those maidens, to those reapers, that they had to leave a few sheaves behind. And so a few handfuls, they are left behind on purpose by the command of Boaz, and that Ruth, that she may receive a little of the benefits that are flowing out of that Boaz, that near kinsman, when she did not even know who that he was unto her. And so the Lord, he is, when he is cutting off that people from that old stock. And he is implanting them in that new stock. Then it is not with all their understanding that they can know it, but the Lord, he is giving that the benefits, they are beginning to flow forth. And congregation already in the beginning, then the Lord, he is beginning to enjoy something of the fruit that is coming forth from those branches. And they are in the beginning then just little fruits, but they may be known and they may be eaten by that husbandman. We have to close. They are congregation. The mysteries, we cannot understand them all. The mysteries of that new life, it is the mysteries of the life of faith. Read it in the forum for the elders. Then it says that they must be continually meditating upon the mysteries of faith. It is a mystery. And we cannot bring it all the time to our rational understanding, because the Lord, he is so free. But what our fathers say now, they say, congregation, make no assumptions. Make no assumptions that it is right with you. Between you and the Lord, just as all men have died in Adam, as if all men, and they shall also be made alive in Christ. No, you cannot make that assumption. You must assume our fathers say something else. You must assume just the opposite. That we are outside of that kingdom until that day that we are engrafted into that new vine. And we cannot put you into heaven when you are lying here in your coffin. That does not work. No, it has to happen, congregation, between the cradle and the grave, because it is to be received by faith. Oh, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, cut me off. Cut me off from that old stock. And Lord, engraft me into thy only begotten Son. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a little stammering because of our ignorance and our foolishness, but wilt thou bless thy word? It is thy own truth, Lord. Wilt thou grant it in the heart of each and every one of us? We must be born again. And then we will begin to experience what those mysteries are. Oh, that thou may give it in our hearts, young and old, a desire for it in the first place. And that we may seek, that we may ask, and that we may knock, until that door may be opened. And that we may remember also that what thou sayest of that widow and that unjust judge, oh, that we would never leave off to the last moment of our life, even when we have become old, because it takes but a moment. Oh, we can read of Nicodemus, that he says, can a man be born when he is old? Oh, Lord, then it is possible. It is possible from thy side. Give them also a little encouragement this day to seek it while they are still upon in the land of the living. And give us all to understand also that we are of one age, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Bring us safely home. Help us in this week, each one in our place in the midst of this world. Keep over dangerous ways the children in school to and fro. Give us faithfulness, diligence, uprightness before Thee. Be with us also, and when we hope to travel to see our children, and watch over and bring us safely to this our flock once again, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 115, the first three stanzas, as pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 115. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.